that way. She, Miss Heather, takes care of all the schedule as far as the specials that are going to be sung. But it's amazing how it lines up specifically with our Sunday school lesson this morning, our motive and our desires for the Lord. And I love it when God does stuff like that. Second Corinthians or Second Chronicles in the Old Testament. Second Chronicles. Second Chronicles, when you get there, stand with me. Chapter number 25. Second Chronicles, chapter number 25. Got a little bit of a different thought for you this morning, but we're going to look at two different characters, specifically one of them. But there's two things we're going to look at here. 2 Chronicles chapter 25, look at verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Notice the next phrase, but not with a perfect heart. Here, this guy, Amaziah, had done right, but he didn't do it with a complete heart. Didn't serve God with a whole heart. With a perfect heart. Hold your place here. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And then look at verse number 20. 2 Chronicles 31. Verse number 20. There's another guy here in the Bible. His name is Hezekiah. Look at verse 20. It says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart and prospered. He did it with all his heart. So here you have Amaziah in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, who served God, did right, but he didn't do it with his complete heart. Then you have Hezekiah in chapter 31, who served God, he did right, but he did it with a full and a complete heart yielded over to God. Go back to 2 Chronicles 25, and we'll pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Help us to take a look at these guys' lives this morning, and specifically in Amaziah's life, and see the effects of what it means to serve you, but not with a whole heart, and see the digression that takes place in his life. I pray we'd take some of these truths, we'll apply them to our lives, become better Christians, better servants of you, and commit more wholly over to you. We'll praise you, we'll thank you, we ask this in your name, we pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. The title of the message is, what will your testimony be? What will your testimony be? I want to give you this thought of, if your name was in the Bible, if God were to put your story in the Word of God, what would He say about you? Would He say that you served God, but with a complete heart, like Hezekiah did? Or would He say that you served God, but not with everything you had? Which one? Now, as a child of God, we should all desire to serve the Lord. But whether or not we serve Him with a complete heart is completely up to us. Now, we can be in a church that's on fire for God, and we can be in a church that's growing, and we can be in a church where God is blessing and we're seeing things take place, but we can still be holding back in our own hearts and in our own lives. And that's what we're going to look at this morning here. Amaziah was a young man. He was 25 years old. Now, there were other kings that started serving as a king when they were children. We had one, Josiah, was 8 years old when he took the kingship. How would you like the kingdom to be ruled by an 8-year-old? Micah, you're 10, right? Miss Amy, how would you like a kingdom to be ruled by Micah? She said, don't sign me up for that. I've got better ideas. But as an 8-year-old, Josiah was mature enough to be able to run the kingdom of Israel. Now, he had help and he had other people there with him. But here, Amaziah was a young man. He was 25 years old. He began to reign. The Bible says he reigned 29 years and he did right, but he held back on God. He held back. And I want to encourage you this morning, if we're going to serve God, let's just get all in serving the Lord. If we're going to do something for God, then let's just jump in. Let's not dabble our toe in the water and see how it feels. Let's just do a cannonball and get right in the middle of what God has for us. And let's get busy doing something for God like Hezekiah did. He served God, and he served God with a complete heart over in 2 Chronicles chapter number 31. But if God were to mention your story, what would He say? Would He say that you served Him, but you held back? Or would He say that you served Him with everything that you had? Now, listen, the reason that people quit serving God, and ultimately Amaziah, we're going to get through his life here, ultimately he ended up turning his back on God and quitting on God, and the reason that so many people quit on God today, it all boils down to a heart issue. Either we are serving God with a whole and a complete heart, or we're holding back because we've got better ideas and we got better plans. We're going through the motions of Christianity, but we're not serving Him with a complete heart. It's a heart issue. And there is a step-by-step process that Amaziah followed that led to his ultimate demise. It did not happen overnight. And your fall away from grace and your fall away from God will not happen overnight. It'll be a systematic process where you continually begin to serve God in the flesh, but not with a whole heart. And you don't completely yield yourself over to God. You'll slowly get further and further and further away from God. And as we get away from God, then ultimately our life will get ruined. There's actions that we take each and every day, and we're going to look at five specific things this morning here on how he started right, but in the end, he was destroyed because he didn't serve God with his whole heart. Now, let's look at it here. Verse 2, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. Now, let's get into the story, verse 3. Now it came to pass, when the kingdom was established to him, that he slew his servants that had killed the king his father, but he slew not their children, but did as is written in the law of the book of Moses, where the Lord commanded, saying, thy father shall not die for the children, neither shall the children die for their fathers, but every man shall die for his own sin. So first and foremost, I want you to notice here that Amaziah went away from serving God because he, number one, he would not abolish all the hindrances in his life. He would not abolish all the hindrances in his life. Here the Bible says in verse number three, that he killed everybody who went against his father, the king. But the Bible says that he did not kill their children. He had the mentality of, look, they're small. They're not going to hinder me. They're not going to hurt me. There's nothing that's going to happen. Everything's going to be okay. And he would not get rid of all the hindrances. And it seems like in verse number 4, notice, the Bible says he slew not their children, but did as it was written in the book, in the law of the book of Moses. It seems like he tries to use Scripture to justify why he didn't follow through with what God said. So he tried to twist Scripture to justify why he wouldn't kill their children. He saw the parents' wickedness. He saw the parents' rebellion. By the way, the children did as well. And so these same children would end up leading to his demise 29 years later as they grew up in the kingdom and they never forgot what their fathers had done and what their parents had done. Now listen, hold your place here. Go over to Romans chapter number 2. There are so many times in the Christian life, and I've seen it time and time again throughout the ministry, where so many people, they will try to know a little bit of Bible and they'll take and they'll twist Scripture to make it say what they want it to say. Now listen, we're going to preach to you the whole counsel of God. We're going to break down systematically the Word of God and show you exactly what God said. And if God says it, we're going to preach on it. If God didn't say it and it's just an opinion, I'm going to tell you that it's an opinion. But here we're going to preach the Word of God. We're not going to try to twist it to make it fit some kind of agenda. I have no agenda that I'm preaching other than the agenda of Jesus Christ, which is found in the Word of God. But there are so many people who try to twist Scripture to make themselves look good. And we're going to see that here in just a moment. But look at Romans chapter 2, verse number 15. Notice it says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. So we have a conscience, but we have the law written in our hearts, meaning we know the Word of God. Their conscience also bearing witness. So the Word of God is convicting, and their conscience is telling them what right and wrong is. Listen, we have a moral conscience. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. Anybody that has a conscience knows these things. It bears witness. And then, and their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. You know, you can go back to 2 Chronicles. In your life, your conscience, leave that verse up there, your conscience will either accuse you of your wrongdoing or you'll begin to make excuses for why you're doing certain things. You see, what happens in your life as you walk with God and as you learn the Word of God then gets written upon your heart. As we hear the truth of the Word of God preached, the Word of God gets written upon our hearts. It gets burned into our conscience and we begin to learn what God has for us. And the Bible says that we have a law written in our hearts. We have our conscience. We remember what the man of God said. We remember what we read in our personal devotions. We remember what we learned at youth conference or at church camp or wherever it is we go. And we remember the Word of God, but our conscience will begin to make excuses or it will accuse us. We begin to do wrong. We come back from a revival or from a missions conference or a conference or a camp or whatever it is, and we begin to fall back into the way that we were living before. Well, our conscience will begin to accuse us. Hey, you know you shouldn't be doing that. Hey, you know you shouldn't be watching that. You know you shouldn't be going there. You know you shouldn't be talking like that. You know you shouldn't be thinking those things. And your conscience will begin to accuse you of your wrongdoing because your heart was right with God. All right? But the further we get from God and the more that we begin to participate in certain sins and certain wrongdoings, then we'll begin to justify certain things. And our conscience will no longer accuse us, but rather we'll make excuses for it. And just like the devil, man, nobody's going to know about it. It's going to be okay. My wife won't ever know that I was looking at this. My children won't ever know that I went here. My wife and I, we went on a semi-date, all right? You try to get dates when you can get them, amen? Those of you that have kids, you try to get dates when you can get them. We were in between going one location to another location to pick the kids up. We stopped at Chick-fil-A, all right? Our kids love Chick-fil-A. Ethan's going to remember this. We stopped at Chick-fil-A, and we ate Chick-fil-A real quick, and on the way to go pick them up, we took the Chick-fil-A trash. And I got out of the truck and I threw it in the back of the truck. And of course the cover was covering it up. And we got rid of the drink cans, or the cups. Yeah, that's what they're called. The cups. Drink things. What are they called? They're called cups. We got rid of the cups and everything. And so nobody knew that we went to Chick-fil-A. We could pick up the kids. They get back in the car. Ethan, first thing, did y'all go to Chick-fil-A? Be sure your sin will find you out. You remember that? Yeah, my wife remembers it. She remembers it very well. We were trying to get something, but you know what? We were making excuses. No, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything wrong. Everything was okay. Nobody will find out. Guess what? Somebody found out. Now, that's a small thing. But in your life, your conscience will either accuse you of your wrongdoing or you'll begin to try to twist scripture and justify why you're doing the things you're doing. It's okay. This is just a small sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7 that sin might appear sin and become exceedingly sinful. There's no such thing as a small sin in your life. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Listen, all lies will send people to hell. That's what the Bible says. Bible says in Romans 21:8 or Revelation 21:8 that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. It does not matter how little you think your sin is. In God's eyes, it's a large thing that separates you and Him. And we begin many a times to make excuses for things. Here in 2 Chronicles 25, verse number 4, the Bible says that He slew not their children, but He began to make excuses. He began to justify His wrongdoing. Many people don't destroy certain hindrances in their life, excuse me, because they think that they can control them. They think because they may be small that everything's going to be okay. Well, may I remind you, as I often remind the kids in our Christian school, little holes sink big ships. I said that this past week to one of the kids in schools, and my son reminded me. He said, that wasn't the case with the Titanic. Well, yeah, okay, that was a big hole, I understand that. But little holes sink big ships. And little problems will begin to mount up in your life and cause bigger issues in your life. I've known of many homes that have been burned down because of a small little spark. Because of a small little electrical issue. It caused a great big problem. And in your life, just because you think it is small, and just because you think that you can get away with it, does not mean that you're going to get away with it. God's judgment will come. Here, He would not abolish every hindrance in His life. He was hiding it, and He was thinking that it was okay. He was thinking that He can get by with it. So I want to ask you, what kind of things are you trying to hide in your life? What kind of things are you unwilling to get rid of in your life? Could it be your acquaintances? Maybe the wrong crowd. Maybe you think, well, I know these people and I know how to handle them. I know how to handle their talk and their communication. Listen, the Bible says evil communication corrupts good manners. Evil communication corrupts good manners. It will change your person, whether you realize it or not. The longer you hang around the wrong crowd, it's going to change the way you think. It's going to change the things that you accept into your life, and it's going to change the way you talk. You may not always see it, but there's change that other people do see in your life because you refuse to get rid of certain acquaintances. But we've been friends for 30 years. We've known each other, and I just enjoy being around them. Listen, does God want you to be around them? Are they drawing you closer to the Lord, or are they drawing you further away from God? We've got to be able to answer these questions in our lives. Maybe your acquaintances, you don't want to abolish those. Maybe you have some albums that you're listening to. I know that's such an old word, right? No, we're not old. Kids don't know what albums are anymore. MP3, is that what that is? Okay. Maybe it's the music that you're listening to. Maybe you're not allowing the Word of God to change your life, and you're trying to hold on to the way that you used to live and the songs you used to listen to. Understand they have an effect in your life. They're going to change you. Maybe it's the abominations that you're involved in. Maybe you're involved in a specific sin that you've been unwilling to yield over to God. Maybe you're involved in pornography, or maybe you're involved in immorality, or maybe you're involved in certain kind of speaking sins, using the wrong kind of language around certain friends. Let me go ahead and tell you, sooner or later you're going to slip up and say it around the wrong person. Sooner or later your parents are going to find out. Sooner or later someone's going to snitch on you. Sooner or later your sin will find you out. And we've got to be willing to abolish the things in our lives that are a hindrance. Maybe your hindrance, maybe you're not willing to give up your apparel or your attire. Maybe the clothes that you're wearing, you're saying, no one's going to tell me how I ought to dress for the Lord. Well, let me tell you, I'm not going to tell you how to dress, but the Word of God sure will. The Word of God will tell you exactly how you ought to dress to please God. It is amazing to me how so many people will dress up for funerals, and they'll dress up for weddings, and they'll dress up for their court appearances, but then they want to dress down when they come to church to meet God. We are meeting the Creator of the universe. We ought to be able to dress up for our Lord and our Savior and put our best foot forward for Him. But many times we don't want to abolish these little things. Well, you ought to be glad that I'm here. Listen, I am glad that you're here. But while you're here, you ought to be glad to be able to present yourself to God. And every day we're presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. The question is, how are we presenting ourselves to Him? And what is He getting? What is He getting? Many times we think that we're okay with certain things, but because we choose not to destroy a small hindrance, it's going to lead to an ultimate failure in our lives. There was a man of God who pastored the largest independent fundamental Baptist church in America. Back in 2012, he had some little hindrances that led into his life, all the way from Bible college to the time that he was 57 years old. Little things that he just kept allowing into his life. Little sins that he was trying to hide from his wife. It led to him committing adultery on his spouse. It led to him disqualifying himself from the ministry. And he ended up going to prison for the things that he was doing. And he served in prison. It ultimately led to his ruin. Why? Because little things kept building up. Little things kept being added. Because he thought he got away with one thing, so he added something else. And he thought he got away with that, so he kept going a little bit further in his life. Listen, when you don't abolish the hindrances in your walk with God, it's going to lead to more and more problems in your life. Here, he would not destroy the hindrances. He slew not their children. It's okay, they're small. They're not going to hurt. Secondly, not only would he not abolish the hindrance in his life, secondly, I want you to notice in verse number 11, the Bible says, and Amaziah strengthened himself and led forth his people and went to the Valley of Salt and smote the children of Seir 10,000. The Bible specifically says that he strengthened himself. That means he didn't strengthen those around him. That doesn't mean that he tried to make everybody better around him. No. He was focused on himself and himself alone. He was arrogant. You see, first and foremost, he would not abolish the problems in his life. Secondly, he was very arrogant about his life. He built up himself. The Bible says specifically that Amaziah strengthened himself. Now listen, We looked at Romans chapter 2, verse number 15, about how our conscience will accuse or excuse. When we begin to make excuses for why we're not serving God, many a times our excuses lead to one of two things. Your excuses will lead to either you being the hero or the victim. One or the other. In your life, when we begin to make excuses, well, listen, I didn't do that because I just felt like it was going to hinder my walk with God, and we try to be too spiritual on things. So you try to be the hero of the situation, and you try to be the hero of your own story. Or sometimes, well, I didn't do that because I was hurt in this area, and this and this and this, and you know, you become the victim. In your life, when we begin to make excuses for why we're not serving God the way that we should be, we either make ourselves the hero or we make ourselves the victim. But what are we doing? These excuses are used to strengthen ourselves. They're used to strengthen our position on why we don't do certain things or why we do certain things. People say, well, preacher, I can't go soul winning with everybody on Thursday nights or on Saturdays, but you know, I pass out tracts and then I'm trying to be a witness. Listen, I'm glad you're being a witness, but come and witness with all of us. It's a good encouragement. It's a good encouragement not just to everybody else that's here, but it's a good encouragement for you to understand how to handle certain situations when people may reject you. Many people say, well, I've never been soul winning, but hey, I've led so-and-so to the Lord. Really? Have we? Well, come soul winning with us because we need more people to get led to the Lord. We need to see more people get saved. And if you're so good at it, come with us. We'll go find somebody that needs Jesus. Or we'll say, I can't come to prayer meeting, but can you pray for so-and-so? What do you think we're doing at prayer meeting? We're praying. Why don't you just come? Come be a part of it. Many times, we've had parents in the past who their kids have gone to church camp or their kids have gone to youth conference. And kids have come back to be on fire for God and excited about what God's doing. And they'll talk to their parents about, hey, I want to go to church. I want to go back to church on Sunday night. And parents will respond with, listen, you go to church any other time. We got to get this done, though. This is more important. Really? Is it more important? Are we trying to strengthen ourselves or are we trying to strengthen our walk with God? Which one is it? Are we strengthening the flesh or are we trying to strengthen the spirit? Which one is it? Many people will say, well, I can't let my kids can't come to the activity because they got this sport and this sport and this other thing and this other thing. Listen, your kids have an open schedule. Amen. Most kids today have a very open schedule when it comes to certain things. And very sadly, we want to put everything else in front of them doing anything for God. The Bible tells us very specifically on several occasions to strengthen the brethren, to edify one another, to encourage one another, and for us to grow in grace. But the Bible will never, ever command you to strengthen yourself. Never. You're always commanded to edify somebody else, to encourage someone else, to consider one another unto good works, the Bible says. To esteem others better than self, the Bible says. But never once are you commanded to strengthen yourself. You're commanded to grow in grace. But one of the main ways that we grow is by doing for others. And then we grow in our walk with God. It's amazing when we begin to fall away from serving God and we're not serving God with a perfect heart. Many times we don't abolish the hindrances in our lives and we make excuses for why we do certain things. But secondly, we often become very arrogant in why we don't do certain things for God. We become very arrogant in ourselves. We think that we are better than other people. Me and God, we have a connection, you know. No, that's an arrogant statement. Many times people get very arrogant in their walk with God. Then you'll notice over in verse number 14. Now it came to pass after that Amaziah was come from the slaughter of the Edomites. Now listen, he's still defeating people. He's still seeing victory take place. So God hasn't completely abandoned him at this time. We're still seeing success in his kingship, but we see a digression in his walk with God. So many times there may be success in your life, but it may not always be God blessing you. Sometimes it may be the world. Hold your place here. Go to Psalms. I'll show it to you. Go to Psalms chapter 10. Psalms chapter 10. Look at verse number 3. Just like God can bless you, you know the world can bless you too. Many times we think that all blessings only come from God. It's not the case. The devil tries to mimic everything God does. So if the devil's going to try to mimic salvation and teach you, instead of salvation by grace, he's going to try to teach you salvation by works. Instead of showing you the love of God, the devil's going to try to show you lust. Instead of showing you the joy of the Lord, the devil's going to try to show you happiness in a certain situation. Okay? Just like the devil's going to mimic everything that God does, when God blesses his children, the devil has a way of blessing as well. Look at Psalms chapter 10, verse number 3. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. Then notice, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. Who's doing the boasting? The wicked. Who's doing the blessing? The wicked. Not God. The wicked boasteth of his heart's desire. He's arrogant about his own self. And what happens? And blesseth the covetous. You see, as you begin to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, as you begin to pursue certain things in the flesh and pursue certain monetary things in your life, and you begin to not pursue after God, the devil's going to try to bless you so that you feel good about neglecting your walk with God. The devil's going to do everything he can to keep you from walking with God like you should. So here, he would not abolish the hindrances in life. Here, he became very arrogant in his own personal walk. And then verse 14, we see he came back from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the children of Seir and set them up to be his gods, and bowed down himself before them and burned incense unto them. Now think about this. He would not abolish the hindrances. Then he became arrogant, and instead of walking with God, he strengthened himself. Now he becomes apostate. And it literally means that he quit following God completely, and now he's serving a false god. He was an apostate. He had fallen away from serving the Lord and started following false gods. Now think about this. This guy literally just went and destroyed all these people. He killed every one of them. And then he took their idols and their false gods that could not save him, all right, that could not save them, and he took them home with him. And he set those very idols up that the enemy was just worshiping, that could not fight against the children of Israel, and he bows himself down to them. The very same idols that could not protect the previous people that they belonged to. How ridiculous does that sound? He took the idols that somebody else was serving, that could not do anything for them, and he set them up for him to serve. Hold your place here and go back with me to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Many of you know Joshua 24:15. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And while that's a great verse, there's a great truth that's often missed as well. Joshua chapter 24, let me show it to you. In the same verse, go back one verse to verse 14. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." Then in verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Notice there's a choice that Joshua sets before the children of Israel. And I want you to pay attention to this choice. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. Okay? So that's the gods that were served before God destroyed the earth in the flood. Those gods could not save those people. Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So you can either serve the gods that were on the other side of the flood that couldn't help them during that time. Or you can serve the gods of the Amorites. And let me remind you, you're now dwelling in their land. Their gods could not protect them from us. Their gods could not protect them from the God that we serve, the God of Israel. Then he says, "But
as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The choices that we have as far as our service to God is we are either going to serve the gods that couldn't help anybody else, or we're going to serve the God who's in control of everything. It's one or the other. But what happens, and you can go back to 2 Chronicles 25, what happens is when we begin to build up ourselves, when we begin to refuse to abolish the hindrances in our lives, we allow these little things to collect in our lives, and we refuse to give honor and glory to God for what He's done, but rather we build ourselves up, we become very arrogant in our own personal walk. What happens is it leads to us becoming an apostate. It leads to us rebelling against God completely and finding something else to serve altogether. Why do you think people fall out of church and they begin to worship the boat? Or they begin to worship hunting? Or they begin to worship their job? Well, I can't come to church because my job's got me working. Okay, I understand there's things that we have to do. And yes, we have to make a living. I understand that. But what I'm talking about is where when we're running from God, we willingly put ourselves on the schedule. Where once we took a stand and said, I'm not going to work on Sunday because I've got a relationship with God that I want to build. Now we're going out of our way to set up all these things and these excuses for why we're not serving God. We begin to put everything else in our place, in the place of serving God. The gods of the people that He had just destroyed, He took them home and He served them. We begin to serve other things. Maybe some people, they begin to miss church because their favorite team is playing football. Hey, listen, I understand today's the championship games. AFC, the NFC, I understand it. You know what? Record the things and watch them later. All right. When it comes to the Super Bowl, we don't cancel church on Sunday night of the Super Bowl. We usually have a good little get-together at somebody's house, and what do? We record the game, and then we'll fast-forward through all the commercials because they're worthless anyway. Right? Get through the game in about an hour. Praise the Lord. But we don't make excuses for why we don't do certain things. Well, this is on TV. I'm going to stay home and do this. Oh, we ought to be serving God. We ought to be at church because God wants us in the door of the church. Anytime the doors are open. Why? Because it's an encouragement to others. Go back when you get a chance. Write it down. Look it up later. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Verse 25 says, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But verse number 24 says, considering one another, let us provoke one another unto good works. So that means when we decide to come to church, what are we doing? We're encouraging other people to do what's right. We're encouraging other people in their walk with God. We're encouraging other people as they take the stand that they need to take for Christ. But see, when we don't abolish the hindrances, it leads to us becoming arrogant. And then once we're arrogant, then it leads to us becoming apostate. And we set up other gods because our God and the Word of God becomes too convicting in our lives. And so we rebel against it and we follow anything else that won't convict us. That's the God of relativity. If it feels good, then do it. That's how the world operates. And God says, no, you can't do that. Don't set up those false gods. You make the choice. And Joshua laid the choice out very plainly for us. To choose you this day whom you will serve. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? How long halt ye between two opinions? This is nothing new. The choice to serve God or to serve the flesh, that's nothing new. It's happened all throughout time. But we're faced with that choice every day. What are we going to do? Here, he became apostate. Fourthly, I want you to notice in verse number 20, he wouldn't abolish the hindrances. He became arrogant. It led to his apostasy. And then next, he becomes very apathetic towards godly counsel and towards God in general. Notice verse 20. But Amaziah would not hear. Notice the reason. For it came of God. He would not hear. Why? Because it came from God. He knew the source was directly from God, and because of that, he said, I'm not listening to it. I'm not listening. Why did he get to that point? Again, verse 2 says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But because he didn't do it with a perfect heart, we're seeing his demise very systematically. We're seeing the steps that he took, and it's going to lead to his destruction. Three times you'll find in this chapter alone where he would not listen to God or the man of God. Look at verse 7.
But there came a man of God to him. Okay? There came a man of God. Told him exactly what to do. And then he wouldn't do it. And we see that in verse number 8. Look at verse 15. Wherefore the anger of the Lord was kindled against Amaziah, and he sent unto him a prophet. God's anger was kindled, but what did God do? God gave him grace. God gave him another chance. Just like he does in our lives. When we begin to rebel, what does God do? God gives us another chance. God gives us another man of God that's given us a message from the Word of God, and God gives us another opportunity to repent. But we choose what we want to do. Look at verse 19. Thou sayest, lo, thou hast smitten the Edomites, and thine heart lifteth thee up to boast. Abide now at home. Why shouldest thou meddle to thine hurt, that thou shouldest fall, even thou and Judah with thee? But Amaziah would not hear, for it came from God. God told Amaziah what the end result was going to be. Because he lifted up himself, he was going to fall ultimately. But he refused to listen. Three separate occasions, God tried to show grace in his life. But he wouldn't listen because he knew the source came from God. You see, when you begin to run from God and you're not serving God with a whole heart and with a complete heart, you've made up your mind that you're not going to listen to the man of God's advice. You made up your mind you're not going to listen to any kind of godly counsel. What happens? It's going to lead to our destruction. Sometimes what happens is people, they'll come to a man of God, or they'll come to a godly counselor in their lives. And they'll ask advice, but in their minds, they've already made up their mind on what they're going to do. They just want to look spiritual. I'm going to go and ask for advice. I already know what he's going to say, and I already know what I'm going to do. But I'm going to go entertain this thought. I'm going to go ask him because, you know, I should be asking him, and I want him to know that I asked. But I'm not going to do it. I already know. Many times we've already made up our mind. We have a split loyalty in our lives. Many times we listen to others that'll make us feel good, but we won't listen to the godly counsel that we know is right, even though it hurts. The Bible tells us in Proverbs to be careful from those that flatter with the lips. Sometimes, when we get godly counsel, it's not always stuff we want to hear. But it's stuff we need to hear. It's what we need. Listen, God doesn't always give you what you want. God always gives you what you need, though. He will always give you what you need. And here, many times, we can become apathetic to godly counsel. Go to Proverbs. We're going to look at two verses here, and then we'll come back to this passage. Proverbs chapter 15. Look at verse number 22. I want to help you this morning. There's the steps that people are taking right now. They started off, they were walking with God, and they were growing in their walk with God, but right now you're getting a little further away from God. And guess what? It's showing. We're becoming a little bit apathetic. And the results are seen clearly. And we've got to get right with God before God destroys us. Look at Proverbs 15, verse number 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. You see, you try to do things your own way, you're going to lead to a lot of disappointment and a lot of heartache. But when you get godly counsel and instruction, thoughts and purposes are established. You get a plan, and then you begin to work that plan. Go over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Some people have the mentality of, well, I'm going to this church, but I got another preacher friend over here. I'm going to ask his advice for certain things. And that's fine and dandy. You get the advice where you want to get the advice. I'm just telling you what the Bible says here. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at verse number 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, talking about the church. Notice the next phrase. As it hath pleased him. Did you know? You can go back to 2 Chronicles. Did you know that God has you here this morning? Because it pleased him to do so. God has you set here today because he knew what was going to be preached. It pleased him to have you here. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now, while the devil tries to stop everybody from doing anything for God, the devil doesn't know what I'm preaching.
The devil doesn't know what goes on in my heart. He's not omniscient. Only God is. Okay? There are things the devil does not know. The devil doesn't know what God wants me to say. Only God does. There's times I don't even know what God wants me to say. Holy Spirit just does things. There's times where there's things that are not written in the message. And I've told my wife, I got to go back and listen to that again because I don't know where any of that came from. It was the Holy Spirit of God. We're just a mouthpiece. And God has things for us. But you know what? God has you here in this church today because it pleased Him to do so. It pleased Him. He has set every one of them, the members in the body, as it hath pleased Him. God has you here because it pleased Him to do so. And we need to make sure that we don't become apathetic. Well, here he is again, preaching against that same sin over and over. Don't be apathetic to the Word of God. There's a reason God has us preach on certain things. It could be we haven't gotten it yet. I heard an illustration by this preacher one time. He took over a church. He was an older man of God. He had taken over this church. And he gets up there and he preaches the Word of God. And he's preaching it hot and heavy. And he comes out there in the morning. And people are shaking his hand. He said, man, preacher, that was a really good message. And a deacon had never heard a message like that. Man, you just preached on everything. Man, that was good. I appreciate that. I needed that. So, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The next Sunday morning, he gets up and he preaches the same exact message he preached the week before. Same exact message. Deacon goes out there, same guy, shakes his hand, preaches a good message. I liked it the first time. I like it. It's a good message. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The third week, comes back to preacher, preaches the same exact message again. Now listen, if I preach the same message over and over again, most of you wouldn't come back. Right? Like, don't you have anything new from God? The deacon comes out there and says, all right, preacher, we got to start talking. You know, you're preaching the same message over and over again, don't you think? Don't you think you got to preach something new? He said, listen here, buddy. If you don't start applying the first message, why would I move on to a new one? An old man of God. I like it the old way sometimes, amen. If you ain't doing what was already been preached on, what God's convicted you about, then why should we move on to something else? Amen. But sometimes we get apathetic. I've heard that over and over again. I know what he's going to say. I've been to that youth conference before. I know what they do over there. Well, listen, I understand. But they got some other preachers that are preaching. And it may be different. It may be that God has a specific message for you. I've been to this revival before. We've had that special speaker before. Listen, God may have something special for you that night. And we need to be in our place. Don't get apathetic in our walk with God. Then lastly, look at verse number 27. He would not abolish the wrong in his life. He was arrogant and lifted himself up. He became apostate and followed false gods. He was apathetic towards godly counsel. And then lastly, verse number 27, he abandoned God altogether. He abandoned God altogether. Look at verse 27. Now after that time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, we started the chapter with him serving God. Didn't we? We've seen the systematic steps. Because he didn't serve God with a whole heart, we see where it leads. Now he's not following the Lord at all. After the time that Amaziah did turn away from following the Lord, they made a conspiracy against him in Jerusalem, and he fled to Lachish. But they sent to Lachish after him and slew him there. And they brought him upon horses and buried him with his fathers in the city of Judah. Now, who killed him? Who slew him? Personally, I'll give you my opinion. If you go back to verses 3 and 4, the same children that he did not kill. The same little hindrances that he did not abolish. 29 years later, grew up, and they saw that he had gone away from God. Because it was a digression that had taken place. People knew he had lost his walk with God. We say a phrase oftentimes, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. People can tell whether or not you're walking with God. There's times where people will say different things, like, man, you're changing. Well, it could be. You're changing for the good because you're walking with God. We started a challenge here at the beginning of the year for God's people to read through the Word of God. And I'm not going to take a show of hands, but those of us that are reading through the Word of God, we ought to be able to feel ourselves drawing closer to the Lord.
Why? Because there's a specific time set aside where we're getting into the Word of God. God is speaking to our hearts. God's showing us some things. And we are feeling ourselves draw closer to God. Well, you know what? Other people that are on the outside that are not doing it, they're going to look at you and say, man, you're changing too much. Well, it could be you're changing too much for the good. And they're not walking with God like they should. And it shows. But the flip side is also true. That when you're not walking with God, it shows in your attitude. And it shows in your walk. It shows in what you allow to happen in your home and in your life. It shows with how you deal with other people. You know, when you just read your Bible and spend time in prayer, sometimes your day just goes better. But when you neglect it, you feel it. I do too. We feel it. It shows. There's a lot of people who talk a good game and they'll say all the right things, but they don't ever live what they say they believe. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And that's what's happened in Christianity today. A lot of people are having a form of godliness. They know when to say amen. They know when to come to church. They know how to praise the Lord, but they're denying the power of God. They have a form of godliness. They know what they're supposed to do, but they're denying the power. Where do we get our power? From the Word of God. You can know what to do all day long, but if you're not in this book, you're not going to do it. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You have those that come to church and, preacher, I like what you say, but you know, I just can't drink the Kool-Aid. I'm not asking you to drink any Kool-Aid. All right. I can't get my kids too involved in church. I know we have these conferences and these camps, and why do we spend so much money on these kids going to camp and conference? They don't keep their commitments. Well, with a home life like that and a decision like that or encouragement like that, I'd imagine why they don't keep their commitments. They come home and they somebody jumps down their throat and doesn't try to encourage them in the Lord. No wonder they don't keep their commitments. It's too hard. Their biggest obstacle is staring right at them. Sometimes I wonder how many times we've actually set our kids down and asked them what God did for them that week they were at camp or that time they were at youth conference or during the revival. We go home after the message and we ask our kids, hey, what did God tell you tonight at church? What did you get from the message? When do we actually communicate those things? Show that interest. You know, that's a way of accountability in our homes. We can share with our kids what God did in our hearts. Our kids can share with us what God did in their hearts. And guess what? That breeds accountability for both of you. That leads to families growing closer together as they grow closer to God. But then you have those that just because they've abandoned God, they try to make everybody else's life miserable. And they want everybody else to quit on God too. There's always a negative Nelly in the crowd somewhere. There's always that person that tries to find the cloud with the silver lining. You know, you're always told, look for the silver lining in the clouds. No, there's other people that do it reverse. And we talk about is the silver lining, and they try to find the cloud. They try to find the negative. Man, I'm glad God's doing those things, but you know, be ready, because this is going to happen. All right, look, just encourage people for a minute, please. Just be excited for everybody for just a minute, please. Look at what God's doing right now, please. And they just get excited about it. We'll talk about all the problems that are going to come. Yeah, problems will come. Yes, we understand that. We're not oblivious to that. We're not living with our heads in the clouds. We understand problems are going to come. But for this moment, let's just rejoice for a little bit. Instead of having that negative Nelly show up with that sour attitude. But here we have two different men, two different testimonies. One served God with a complete heart, Hezekiah. And God blessed everything. We don't have time to get into his life. But we have Amaziah here. The Bible says that he did right, but not with a whole heart. Where are we at this morning? Are we going to serve God with a whole heart, or are we going to hold back on God? We saw the steps that Amaziah took, and it led to his utter destruction. All because he chose to allow little things to keep festering and growing. And in your life, if we allow little things to come between us and our walk with God,
it's going to lead to our destruction. Stand with me with head bowed and eyes closed. The question is, where are you at this morning? Where are you at in your walk with God this morning? Some of us, I fear, have gotten a little bit apathetic. We've been on fire for God. We had a revival. In September, and sadly right now we're not walking with God like we should. Right now we've gotten a little bit away from what God has for us. Man, we were on fire, we were coming to church and we were excited, and now we let every little thing keep us from serving God. We let every little thing keep us from coming to church like we should. Where are you at this morning? Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Help us. We need you. Help us to serve you with a whole and complete heart. We'll praise you.